Good morning, everybody. That's a pretty awesome act of encouragement. I was going to open this morning with, I hope you came this morning to be encouraged. There's a couple verses we're going to hit on real quick. And my thought was, I hope you didn't come this morning thinking that Jesus might put a stamp by your name in heaven. That's not the purpose of coming to church. Church is to come to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to do what the Lord calls you to do, to fellowship one with another. Tony, would you do me a favor? Go out and move Rodney's car. Open the door, get in it, start it, and move it down here by the building, if you would, please. But anyways, the verses I had marked for encouragement this morning, and I look to them for myself all the time, is, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So if you ever go into a place and they say, how are you doing today? Hey man, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's encouragement. That's a day. Yes, Tony?
I can't get in it. I don't have the keys.
You don't have, so without the keys, you can't get in that car, you can't start that car, and you can't move that car.
Right.
So what do we do about that? We find someone who has the keys, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just remember that, and that'll play a part in the sermon this morning, is about going to the one that has the keys. The other verse that I look to a lot for encouragement is found in Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And it says, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed.
Yeah.
Now think about that. Without the Lord watching over us, we're just going to be destroyed as a Christian base. We're going to be destroyed as people. But it goes on to say, because his compassions fail not. He loves us continually. Key part of this verse right here is, they are new every morning, great his faithfulness. Man, I thought about that verse. His mercies are renewed each and every day. So I think, well, they don't fade away at midnight, do they? No. They're the same right up till it starts over again. It's a continuous thing. His mercies are granted to each and every one of us fully, continually, every day. I find that encouraging. What about you this morning? Did you come here for encouragement? Seems like everybody's just a little, you know, I got a headache, you know. I just get those, and it's my own fault of my lifestyle I had before, trying to play basketball off the ground with my head a time or two. So I have a lot of headaches. But I find encouragement in the Word of God. God will help me get through these hard times. God will help. And I know each and every one of you have had a headache. I know each and every one of you have had to have God say, hey, like we saw earlier, Belinda getting his attention. God's done that to me many, many times. What about you? Has God had to get after you a bit? Sure he has, because he loves you, because he cares about you. And I'm sure there's nobody, maybe besides Luke's mama, that cares more about Luke than Belinda does. That's how much God cares about each and every one of us. So that's why we're gathered here, to encourage one another. I hope that's why you came. Not just to take a place on the pew and get a stamp up there. Yep, I did my part. I went to church this many times that year. That's not what church is about. Church is gathering to learn lessons that we heard this morning. The relevancy of the Old Testament scriptures that mean so much today. So where are you going with this? We'll let the Lord lead where we're going with this. The scripture topic is going to be in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start out by reading verses 13 through 19. And remembering, if you were here last week, the sermon Dave preached last week is about being ready. And it's continuing, he's got another part coming on that, and this him and I discussed this will fit right into a part of his main topic. And I hope you all agree with me. The Lord has been given Dave some powerful preaching for the Drift Run Church, for the local church here beside Old Route 21. Really been speaking to my heart, and I hope you. He's preparing us for something. God has something for each and every one of you here today. So as we go, we're going to learn something about the key. Just another note about the keys. I was up at the camper Friday and Saturday and coming home, and Mandy and Debbie and Olivia and Izzy was going up, and we stopped and met in McCannon. And guess what they didn't have? A key. I thought, confirmation. Because that's what the Lord has been. Without a key, we can be in trouble. I was thinking about Sean working on a car. If he goes to work on a car without the key, he can't even modern cars, you can't have access to under the hood. You can't have access to most things when they're locked and they got these alarms go off and carry on. And, you know, Sean can tell you all about the problems of not having a key. So, again, focus on the key as I read this scripture. If y'all would, let's stand in honor of God's word. Matthew chapter 16, going to read verses 13 through 19. Says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, quote, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Pay close attention to these questions here in the answers. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now you can take that personal. You can take that as a personal question from Jesus Christ right this very minute to you. If you're a Christian, you are a disciple. Okay. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to repeat that verse again. And I hope your answer can reflect that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prepare against it. Key verse, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity that we can gather here in your name. I pray you'll search our hearts and look for sincerity, that the reason we're here is to serve you, to worship you, and to give you praise and honor and glory as only you deserve. To ask again for your guidance in this service. To ask that you're in every word, that you mold us and you move upon us as only you can. Stir the heart of the preacher this morning, Lord, that it can be fully and completely bring glory and honor to you. I pray for those traveling today. I pray for our pastor, Lord. We just lift him up to you, his ministry and his life. We thank you, Lord, for him. And we ask again for those that are sick and grieved. You bless them and stir the hearts of those that just seem to be unconcerned right now, Lord. Stir them as only you can. And again, I ask for you to forgive me, Lord, in these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I stand before you today humbled that God has brought this person right here from way out there to where he's at today. That's what God can do. That's what God has done in many lives. And in that scripture text right there, it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, what do men say that I am? And I done a little research in a commentary book by J. Vernon McGee, and he was talking about the many options that was mentioned, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah's and one of the other prophets. And have you ever heard people say that Jesus was a great teacher? I've heard that. Jesus was a great prophet. I've heard that. But that's what the world that will even take knowledge of Christ will say about him. Even in the archaeological finds, it is proven that there was a person named Jesus. It's not a fairy tale at all. It is real. It is proven. It's been proven archaeologically, scientifically, and medically, and the case for Christ. If you ever see that movie, awesome movie. But anyways, but if you look around the world today, how many people have you maybe run into and say to them, you know, Jesus loves you, and they'll pull out a cross. You know, well, they know who Jesus is, but that's what the world says who Jesus is. But key right here, but Jesus is asking you today, right now, whom do you say that I am? I hope that's sinking in. Let the Holy Spirit move upon you right now. Whom do you say that Jesus is? That's a serious question. I ask myself that a lot. Okay. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an answer. What an answer. And that's the only answer. That's the only answer that will suffice the need. That is the first step unto salvation, is to realize that Jesus is who he is. Jesus is. And this is before, in the article, it was probably, I think, 3 to 6 months before the crucifixion. So, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, Jesus is saying the only way that Peter knew that he was whom he said, because he was with him the whole time. But I could be with me and Rodney have spent all of our childhood together, and we've been neighbors the rest of the time, but yet we don't know the depth of each other's heart. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to Peter. That's matters of the heart. That only miraculous power through the Holy Spirit can that be made known. If you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. That's something within you, a personal thing between you and Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. That stirring, that little fire that lights up when Dave preaches a sermon, or you're reading the Word and something really, really hits you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what revealed that answer to Peter. That's when he knew Jesus was who he said he was. Verse 18, And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And in the Greek, that word is Petros, which means rock. But we got to remember, because there's different description here, that the church was built on Peter. And that's what I always thought that said. We watched a video one time about a historical place where that act happened, and they was standing it was a rock on a hillside, and it is said that Jesus pointed at that rock and said, this is the rock. But if we look into that, the rock, who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. Let's read that again. It says, And I also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, We're going to look back at a couple of verses in Psalms 118:22. And I got that one marked. 118 verse 22 says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." And it's also referred to in, he refers to that exact scripture in Matthew 21:42 and in 1 Peter 2:6. Who wrote 1 Peter 2:6? Peter did. Peter is telling us that the church is built on the rock. The stone, the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's the important part of that right there. And I will give unto thee. Now here we're going to get to the point of what Tony did. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, the keys of the kingdom. So what is that? What are the keys? So we know who gives the keys to Peter? Jesus did. Okay? And the keys are not for, we got to realize the keys are not for Peter only. The keys are for each and every one of us. I thought about, remember in high school, the janitor walked around and had a ring about this big around and had about 4,000 keys on it. I thought about that. You know, Jesus has one for each of you. And he has given it. If you've been born again, you have a key. You have a key. And it says, I wrote down, and Mr. McGee, studying that, the key is the Word of God. The key is the truth. The key is our faith in Jesus Christ. The key is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in thinking about that, and I really had to dig around on that, what is bound in heaven and bound on earth is bound in heaven, is you withholding. If I'm not sharing the gospel, because when I'm sharing the gospel, what am I sharing? I'm sharing the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So if I'm not doing it, I'm binding the word of God here on earth, which is binding it in heaven. But if I'm sharing the word of God, as we are commanded to do, as Jesus told us, go preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, I'm loosening on earth what is loosed in heaven. Now just think about it, just for a second. What if we would have never heard the gospel? Pretty hopeless, huh? We would have been keyless, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have no hope. When did Greg teach last? Was that last Sunday morning when he was talking about the arch? He was talking about the keystone? Or was that Wednesday? I don't remember. But anyways, the keystone, if you look at an arch, it's individual blocks laid up till the one in the center's got angles on it. And that's what holds all the other ones in. You take the keystone out, everything falls apart. That's how important the key is. The key to the kingdom of heaven. And it's got to be an original key. There's a lot of duplicates being passed out right now. In fact, I think I have one right here that from the city of Ripley in the, it's to the water plant. It says, "Thou shall not copy." Thou shall not copy. It's an original. Look at your keys, folks, this morning. You got the original key. Well, you might say, well, how do I get the original key? Now, like I say, I know a lot of you has already took the step of faith and accepted Jesus for who he is, confessed him, confessed your sins, repented. But let's be sure, because in this day, there is out there telling people they're okay when they've not received the right key. We got to be sure that you have the original key, the right key, the only key. A copy key won't fit. Copy keys will not work. Check your keys, folks. Check your keys. John chapter 3, verse 3. And these are going to be very familiar words to y'all. But let them be more than familiar. Take each of these words to heart. To receive. Remember what it says. Verily, verily, I say again unto thee, except a man be born again. How do we become born again? We accept Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in us and renews us. And we are a new creature. The Bible talks about that over and over and over. We are reborn. We are a new creature. And what does it go on to say? What does it go on to say? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Right there, that's when Jesus gave Paul the key to the kingdom of God, was when he acknowledged that he was the true Christ. He was the true living Son of God. That's when he got the real key. Be sure you have the real key. You must be born again to have the key. It's not about church attendance. It's not about doing this or that. It's about being born again. It's about committing your life to Christ. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Verse chapter 14, verse 6 says in John 14:6, you know this one. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where do you get the key from? Just said it. Jesus. Do you got the real key this morning? And one more place. Matthew 16. I'm going to read verse 9. Is that right? Matthew 16, 19. I'm going to go right back to that right there. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he was telling Nicodemus. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Do you want to see the kingdom today? There is but one key. And that key's got to come from Jesus. Ask yourself. Look at your keys. You ever look at them and think, I don't have a clue what that key's for? Man, I do. I do that a lot. So we know we got to have the original key. Blend, if you want to get a song, and I invite you this morning, if maybe you don't know if you've been born again. Maybe you've never made that commitment to Christ. Maybe you ain't checked your keys. It's like Sean has taught recently about false teachers. They're running rapid this day. They're distorting the Word of God, trying to make it relevant to their life. They're trying to make their own key fit. And it won't. You must be born again. You must come through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you have a need this morning, I ask you to seriously look at your keys. I ask for you to check out your commitment to the one who gave you the key.